also known as StarsCast. Of course, everybody knows I always say that at the beginning because there may be some listening that are not sure, well, who is this lady? Anyways, of course, I'm going to talk a little bit about Mystic Living Today. That's my e-zine that I have. It's mysticlivingtoday.com. Oh, soon, it looks like tomorrow, I will be sending out my notices to all the people that write for it. It's that time to send in your information, your excerpts, your poems, all that kind of good stuff. And then I like to always talk about Stars with a Z, psychics.com. That's the site where I have my gifted advisors that I have interviewed all of them. We have specials going on. I'm not going to go into that. And the reason I'm not going to go into that right now is because I want to get our guest on, because this lady that I have tonight, you are just going to love her. I read her book already, well, most of it, today, just like that. And anyways, I want to bring on Lynn B. Robinson. How are you tonight, Lynn?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm excited to be here talking to you.
Oh, and listen to her voice, everybody. Doesn't she have this warm, caring voice? Okay, well, you do an awful lot. Let's start with the things that you do. You're an author, a speaker, intuitive advisor. You help people to make changes and reach their goals. That's what I'm assuming, because that's what I feel with you. I read the media sheet on you, but I don't even think I have to do it, because I know who you are and what you are and where you come from. And there is one thing I have. My gal who does this for me, she said, what's about your Divine Prosperity Program? We must touch base on that before we talk on your book. What is that?
I don't have a Divine Prosperity Program.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
well,
no. Maybe you need to do one.
Well, maybe I do. But I think just off the top of my head, I think that anyone who follows their heart will be led
right
to that.
Yes, that's true. I have your website up. It's beautiful. It's got your book on it, Loving to the End and On, A Guide to the Impossible, Impossibly Possible. I do want to talk about that. Now, tell me, you're a speaker, right? Do you do lectures and that kind of thing?
Well, I have done a lot of that in my lifetime, but I had my 80th birthday recently, so I'm not doing as much of that as
well,
I used.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. Well, you know what? We all have to take stock when we get older and decide, you know, well, do I really want to do this? Because, you know, there's things that I'm going to be doing, and somebody asked me to do this, and I wasn't feeling well. I had the flu, and I was thinking, then when they asked, I said, oh, God, I can't do this. No, I mean, I'm not that old, but I can't do this. I just don't have the desire or the heart. So I think you're wise. I think when you reach a point, when you've done as much as you want to do, there's a time to say, well, now I'm going to step back a little, and I'm going to do some things for me, for yourself. And that is really a wonderful thing, I think.
Well, it is, and I have to consider husband, children, grandchildren, et cetera, and a brother and sister who are both older. So there are those kinds of things. I mean, that's what my book is about, you know, about loving to the end.
Oh, I know.
And it means to have an awful lot of people. In fact, there are a lot of stories in the book, as you all know, that have to do with my being bedside with them when they die and helping them transition.
I know. And I'm going to have you talk about Bev, and Bev was your dear friend, and Reggie, her husband. And I'll share some stories, and you're going to get something from them, because I just think that you're just going to know. Her book, of course, is Loving to the End and On, and it's a guide to the impossibly possible. Well, just saying Loving to the End and On, you just have to say that, and you know what that means. That means, to me, there is no end, not really. You know, we've all lost people in our lives, every one of us, and you'll continue to do so, sometimes really young, sometimes older, and you had many experiences that I read in the book already. And, you know, sometimes it's a tough subject to talk about to people, because it'll either make them sad, but we don't want them to be sad. We want them to know that this is not the end. This is not the end. So what I'm going to have you do is explain to my listeners, and I'm sure there are a lot of people listening, because it's just about what you do. And just, you know, tell a little bit about how you started, how you got into this, what made you want to write a book, because this is supposed to be about you, not me, and so I don't want to take over the whole show about talking about Natalie.
You did promise me you'd tell me at least one story while we were doing this.
Actually, I have two of them that you're really going to love. Yes, I will. I promise. Okay, so you started. You were in your hometown most of your life. It says here, but go ahead. You tell us. And you are a doctor. You have a PhD.
I do have a PhD, but it's in business. I have 3 degrees in business, so that has
that has
nothing to do with this aspect of my life. I just simply became aware. I'm not even sure exactly at what age that I sensed things and knew things that other people didn't know, and then I began getting messages from people who were no longer in their physical bodies. Sometimes it would happen because somebody would be talking to me about a loved one, and I would just say, well, did that person ever do so-and-so? And they would say, oh, my God, how did you know that? And then it would start there and then begin to flow. And so there's so many stories, as you know, in the book about messages coming to me for other people. I love one that's not in the book about when I have a swimming pool, and I was taking a break from some work I was doing, some research and writing and stuff. And I was in the pool lying and seeing a cloud overhead, and the cloud began to take shape, and I began to recognize a face. And then that face began talking to me, and it turned out to be the wife of one of my dearest friends and colleagues who had died at a very young age. And she showed me, she didn't talk to me so much as the cloud kept changing and I would see things. And then I had to find a way to talk to her husband about it, not knowing if he would. I mean, he knew nothing about this part of me. He was a business colleague. But I had to tell him what had happened. So I finally shared all of this with him, and he closed the door to his office. He had actually 2 doors on 2 different sides of the office, closed both doors and said, now I want to tell you about this, and nobody else knows. Only my wife and I knew this. And he proceeded to tell me something about what I had been shown in the cloud. And I was sure it was his wife and showing it to me. And he said, but I don't know about the other things. You'll have to ask the girls. And I said, I can't. And they were both college age at that point. And I said, I can't tell them. I mean, they don't believe in this sort of thing. He said, no, you're going to have to tell them. I can't tell them. You're going to have to tell them. I have to go to a meeting. Goodbye. And he opens the door, and who is standing there but one of the daughters? And he said, good, go in. Lynn has a story to tell you. So I told her the story of what I was seeing that her father could not recognize. And she said, oh, and she started crying. Oh, I know exactly what that is. And she told me what it was. And she said, I'm going to go home and look for it. And it was something that some memento or something that was specifically between the mother and the 2 daughters. And the father never had really known about it. So that was a story that was so meaningful to me. And then he became very interested in that sort of thing and even began teaching a course at the church he attended that had to do more with spiritual dimensions beyond the normal things that were talked about in his church. So that was exciting to me and very fulfilling. And it was years ago, and I still get warm all over when I think about it and feel connected.
It is wonderful. But did you start seeing things like that years ago, or was it just all of a sudden it all broke open for you?
I think it developed a little at a time, but I would say that the more I accepted the possibility, the more it broke open wider and wider. And
right. The more you believe, the more you get.
I also read voraciously in the philosophy and in spiritual books and just the whole gamut, even quantum physics, even, you know, to try to understand what was going on. And finally, I just relaxed and let it happen.
So, but I mean, what I'm saying is, did this just happen like the last 20 or 30 years? I mean, all of a sudden, even when you were a really, really, really young girl, I'm talking about like really little,
Really, really young girl, I remember having what I considered an imaginary playmate. But now, reflecting back, I'm
it was
not
real.
Sure. Maybe it was an angel. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I people have heard my story that when I was a little girl, I was alone all the time. And, I mean, my friends would walk by my house and get each other, and they would just totally ignore me. And when I'm going to tell you about this other lady, she said to me, I don't understand. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, what did you do? Did you go and cry and pout? I said, oh, no. I turned around, turned TV on, or went listened to my radio, or I read. She said, it didn't bother you? I said, I guess not. Or it wasn't allowed to bother me. However, when I was little, I really didn't have the guidance as a young, and I was an only child, should have had growing up. I did not. I was on my own. I mean, I had great parents. I mean, they provided for me, but they didn't give me that paternal love, that paternal guidance my father did in a little way, taking me to the airport, watching the airplanes. But I didn't really have that. And she said to me, that's because you had the angels helping you. You didn't need them.
Oh, I love that.
She always felt I was presented to my parents with the, they didn't know, but it was the understanding that the angels would really be the ones to help and guide me throughout my whole life. That's
mm-hmm.
what she said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because my son to this day, he says, you're so smart. He said, just think if you would have had some help. I mean, I'm really intelligent. And I said, yes, but I wasn't guided. And a lot of times you weren't when you were growing up. A lot of times parents, you know, they don't really pay any attention, but they were focused on their life. And I've learned that that's how they were, and that's okay. But that's what she told me. She said, you didn't need them. That's why. And she worked on my side, and I will share a story about her after, because she passed away almost, well, it was a year ago last week. So I will talk about that. But I think your little friend there probably was an angel. And you know what happens? Don't you hear about a lot of little kids? They'll say, "Yeah, I was talking over there to my little friend." But maybe
oh, sure.
they really see. Maybe they see that, something. You know what? I believe that.
Well, I do too. And I think it still happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
we still get that kind of guidance. That I think a lot of times what we think is intuition is really guidance.
Right, right.
Enormous
you know,
amount of that.
Well, you also did something, a book called How to Unlock Your Naturally Intuitive Self. You did that one too, right? And you did Coming Out
no,
of
No, that was, what? Yeah, that was the subtitle, Coming Out of Your Psychic Closet.
Yes, Coming Out of Your Psychic Closet, comma, How to, yes, that
yeah.
was the subtitle.
Right.
Now, okay, so that book, did that launch your... becoming an author, was that... I'm just curious as to how you decided. I know where your background was. You're very educated. But I want to know, how is it you decided you wanted to write about these kinds of things? Because this was not your area of expertise. You
oh,
know what I'm saying?
Hardly. I mean,
no. I know, I read about you.
As a management consultant, I worked for everything from mom-and-pop shops to Fortune 500 companies. But
yeah.
I have to
That's
tell you
saying.
That my intuition was
It's like you
hugely...
stepped onto another plane. Well, we're going to push her up there now because this is what she's going to write about. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I just, that was something that I had to write about, and I have to tell you that it opened up a flow in my life by admitting that I was highly intuitive and that other people were too and were not recognizing it and not owning it. Writing that book opened doors that were beautiful beyond belief. I was able to meet other people who, scientists who were intuitive, financial analysts who were intuitive, professors of parapsychology who were highly intuitive themselves, animal communicators, someone who was really quite well known in the dance world. I was invited to be involved with a whole number of people. It also led me into some activity with a shaman, South American shaman.
Right.
I befriended
oh, yeah.
a couple of South American shaman. one of whom also had a PhD in anthropology at the same time he was a South American shaman. So he was absolutely amazing. And I was able to be invited to a Native American gathering of five nations that was in Canada, and just really be there, not participate so much as just to be a guest at that gathering of amazing human beings. So it opened up just doors and doors and doors, and it was all because I allowed myself to say there is more than very cloistered and analytical learning.
Mm-hmm.
So much to
now,
know.
You know, you're telling me about all these people. Now, look at some of them were like probably near geniuses in their field, were so highly intelligent. But look, they had another side to them. Maybe the way they did their work was they were being guided. Only they might not have known it at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I think
I think
the ones I was with knew it, and they weren't. It wasn't guided so much as they admitted the wholeness of who they are. We're not just logical, analytical people.
Right.
We're more
than that. I've interviewed lots of people, and almost all of them have said the same thing to me. You know, and they came from very intelligent parents. You know, doctors and lawyers and, you know, chemical engineers. They came from those types of people, but yet that person that I interviewed was not like them at all. And I would ask them, how did they treat you? Did they see that you were different? I remember the one lady, she said, well, no, they just kind of let me do my own thing. But I really think there's a balance there that we don't even know about, that you can have all your intelligence, and then you can be intuitive, and you can be guided. You can learn all of these things and become more aware and be such a more complete person. You can.
Well, I think it's a matter of admitting that we are more than our physical selves.
That's right.
We're not one
or
the other. We are more than physical.
Yeah, that's tough to do, though. You know, I mean, sometimes I'll sit and I meditate. You know, I was reading your book, and before that I just was really still. I do this a lot. And I started thinking about all the people in the world and what they do, why they do it, and what drives them. And I wonder, do you use this other side of you, or is it just like a driven? You know, sometimes people are like sitting in a car and they just floor it, and they don't even think of what's going on around them. If they would just stop and listen, maybe some of the things would not happen to them and with them. But people, I don't know, they're just not all well informed, and I just wish they could hear people like you. They would be so enlightened, it would be unreal. And I'm going to tell the audience, I started reading this book and I couldn't even put it down. I had to put it down because it was time to get the show going. And I was kind of upset with myself because I thought, God, this is such easy reading. You must, and I'm going to say this again, get this book. It will make you feel so good inside. It really, really will. There's just no doubt in my mind that you're going to say, oh, my gosh. It's just loving to the end and on. And it's not a real big book. I will finish this book tonight. It's easy. It's a soft. It makes you feel good. I like books like that. I don't like books that make me have to think too much. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, it makes sense. Because you just, who was the science fiction author that used the word grok, which is more than understand. You just grok it. You just get it. Get it at more than the level of the mind. You get it in the very core of your being. And I'm glad
you
got mine that way. That's very exciting.
Oh, it was easy. Because I had to make sure, because it resonated so much with me that it didn't make me sad. And I had to, so I had to keep myself up, risen above, kind of like, and okay, now read this, because she, you know, Lynn talks about her friend Bev and her husband, Bev's husband, Reggie, in the beginning of the book. And this starts it off, and I just, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's good that I'm not reading the whole thing, because maybe I, I wouldn't be feeling, but I love this stuff. It's not that it makes me feel sad, but I'm also an empath. And so I feel everything. And,
well,
and that's not always.
That since writing the book, one of her, Bev's daughters has called me that because one of her daughters was engaged and now she's married and pregnant. And I mean, because this has been months ago that when she got engaged, but her mother, Bev, came through again to tell her something about what she wanted for the wedding dress. She wanted something, a keepsake of hers, sewn inside of the wedding dress.
Oh,
and
how
she
wonderful.
Was able, through me, to tell her daughter that.
So Bev came to you to tell you to tell her daughter, right?
Well, I was talking to her daughter on the phone when I had a sense of her, and I said, oh, wait a minute, your mom's trying to tell me something. I came out so excited because, as I say in the book, we were born 2 days apart, and in those years, mothers, you know, stayed in the hospital several days, and the babies were taken to the nursery and then brought to their mothers to be nursed and held and then taken. So we were in the nursery together at the hospital. We were lifelong friends. So it was very exciting when she came through to, you know, say.
Now, this just happens whenever. You can't guide this. It's just whenever you're talking to somebody, you're sitting there, and I'm trying to figure out how you get this information. It's just spontaneous?
It is spontaneous, but it's like it comes into a different channel than where I'm talking to you. So if I'm talking to you, it seems to be as though that's well, it's like on a radio, you know, and you tune into different stations. And so I'm getting information from two different stations. And sometimes, and I say this in the book in a couple of places too, I have to say, you know, be quiet a minute because this other information is going. In other words, I needed to switch channels.
Right. Like as if you were talking to me and you got something for me, you'd say, Natalie, you have to be quiet. I got some information.
Yeah, something's happening. Let me just give me a minute.
Happening.
Let me focus on this other station. Let me change channels for a minute.
Well, because it's hard to sometimes to listen to two people at the same time.
Exactly.
It really is.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes when you're getting a message like that, it might be really strong, especially if it's something that person needs to know about or whatever. So, it'd be hard tuning it out. It would be very hard.
Yeah,
I don't get that.
Sometimes I don't get it right because it may be a word or a symbol that's symbolic. And so they'll keep, you know, I'll keep getting additional information until I get it right, until I get the meaning that the person no longer in the physical body wants me to get. And so one of the questions I get about that, Natalie, is, well, I mean, if you can get it, why can't you just get it? Well, I don't really know the answer to that, except that I guess it's like if you and I had a lot of static in the line right now, I might have to say, you've got to say that or go find another line or something. And I'm sure we're communicating from different dimensions, for lack of a better word. There are just times it's not clear. And then we have to work
That makes sense. I mean, I understand it. It's never happened to me, so I don't know. Like I said, I hear, but I don't hear like all day long. Or mine is mostly when I just get awake, that like you're in the etheric, I'll get stuff. Mostly just sounds. It's not voices, not words.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to me, started happening about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe even longer than that, I guess. Yeah, probably longer than that. But I really didn't pay any attention because, and I'm in this field. I've been in it for umpteen years. I mean, I know all about it, but it's almost like the thing that I'm supposed to be doing is gathering those that do it and bringing them to a place. I don't think it's about me. I think it's just, you know, and I have so many gifted people. I really do around me, you know, lots of them that I could go to. But, you know, it's tough sometimes. You don't even understand what your real role is. But I would really love to hear more. And I'm open to it. I'm not afraid. And, you know, I will tell you these two things that happened to me that you will understand it right away. I didn't know it at the time until the event happened. And then I realized what was being what I was hearing, how important it really, really was. So now, into this book. Now, how long did it take you to write this book?
A couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It takes a while, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because you start it and it sort of marinates for a little while, and then
yeah.
you go off in another direction and it marinates for a little while. And then I found out after it was actually a longer book. I think it's turned out better being shorter. But I found out how much the rules of publishing had changed and how fearful the whole publishing industry is of being sued for one reason or another. So you have to be incredibly careful in everything, which is why all of the names in the book have been changed and even last names are
used. Oh, yeah.
I
guess people do actually use some names, although sometimes they will put in somebody's name and didn't get permission. I guess that would be a problem.
You can do that, but you have to make sure that the permission is given in something that is legally constructed and will hold up in court.
I know. So you might as well just use different names. It's a lot safer, and you don't have to worry. It's a lot easier.
Well, and also in many of the instances, I called and told them what I was doing, and said, you know, how do you feel about this? And many of them said, you know, it's okay if you want to use the real name of the deceased person because if they're deceased. But I was just trying to honor the memory for the family members. But some of them said, no, please do not use the real name. So.
Well, and,
that
you know,
also.
You would be using first names, so, I mean, you could just pick a name even though it was the same. Like, you could use Natalie, and even though it's not really me you're talking about, you know, I mean, you could do that. But, yeah, I guess
just choose names. I mean, you mentioned in the first chapter, Bev and Reggie. Those are not their
right,
names.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it's respectful, actually. I mean, I think that's great. I think that's great that you did that. And you don't have to put... You don't have to put the real names. You know who they are, right? So
well,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right, so it took you, so you started, what, just jotting, I'm just curious, anybody that writes, all my authors, I always ask them. So you just started jotting notes down, you got these ideas. I think I want to write about this. I think, you know, not even knowing that you would have it published, correct? I mean, you just, the knowledge that?
Well, originally, I mean, the whole thing began because a friend of mine was a dean of nursing at a university, and she wanted a course online of near-death experiences because physicians and nurses are beginning to, you know, admit that they've had it, and they're writing their own books. And she knew that I had facilitated a local group of the International Association of Near-Death Studies. I am not a near-deather, but because I'm an after-death communicator, I was empathetic with that group, and we didn't have a group like that in Mobile, and Ions was very happy for me to start such an affiliate group here. And she knew about that, so she asked me if I'd be willing to teach a course online for her, and I said, sure. She said, it's going to be a lot of work, and I can't pay you much. I said, you don't have to pay me at all. I'll do it as a service. And she said, no, I can't do that. At any rate, long story short, I did a lot of research to construct the course and create a syllabus, and then I had to take a course that the university offered to professors for how to teach a course online because I had not done that.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I did all of that, and then she submitted the proposal, and the vice president of that the medical area in the university said, "Oh well, you know, I'm not sure about this at all, and we've got to look at her credentials." Well, of course, I have a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD in the field of business.
Yeah, here,
and
look at them.
Yeah, so I didn't have any of the health courses and so forth. So he said, oh well, you know, we can't do that. She can't teach the course. And so my friend said, oh, I'm so sorry, you spent all this time. And I said, don't worry about it. I tell you what we'll do. We'll develop a management course for nurses, how to manage the procedural stuff, etc. And all of the examples will have to do with near death patients. And that way we can teach the near death course. But put it in a different package. So she said, "Oh, that's a great idea." So I redid that, and she submitted it, and he took one look at it, and he said, "Well, we can't do it because she may talk about talking to dead people." And that was the end of the course. So then she called and apologized for that, and I said, don't worry about it. I'll turn it into a book. Now, maybe this was the universe hitting me over the head to write the book, because as I wrote it, it became far less about just near death and nursing, and it took on the life that
had to be guided. We're going to nudge her over here. We're going to make her go over here with exactly.
You got it.
Divine order. That's
it. You got it.
When I talk to people about that, sometimes you start off in one thing and it leads you to something else, and you're looking back and saying, well, how am I doing this? Oh my gosh! But the universe will do that. It's called divine order. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
And so
it's all divine order.
Yeah, it turned into a book about love, and what's more divine than that?
Exactly. Well, how did everybody receive this? Now you've got this book. Did you have it published, or did you self-publish, or what?
Well, that's an interesting story too, because there were a couple of publishers interested, but they wanted me to spend the time to develop a large social media presence, which I had been avoiding, and I said I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to take the time to do that, partially because of age. My husband, of umpteen million years, is not getting any younger either, and I said I don't think it's wise, so I think I'll just self-publish it, so that's what I did.
There you go. Well, being on all the social medias, I have Candy, who's in the chat room right now. She does most of that for me. I do some Instagram, but I love Instagram. But I love communicating with people. But it can be tough because it's consuming.
It's very time consuming. And I actually did have one person that I talked to offer to do for a fee, the whole Twitter thing, and get it up to have a many thousand and da da da. And I said, the more I thought about it, the more I thought I don't want to take time that way. And because I do believe that there was a lot of divine guidance in the writing of this book and the publishing of it, that it would get to the people that it needed to get to. And
exactly, divine order.
Yeah.
It will reach who it's supposed to reach. That's what you and I were talking about, that I don't pick the authors that come to me. It's the publicists that do it. I'll give me dates. I got some that I'd like to have you talk to, and we run with it. That's exactly how it happens. I don't seek anybody out because I just feel that if the divine universe, God, whatever you believe in, wants me to be with somebody on the air like yourself, and I'm so pleased to have you. You have no idea. If it's chosen for me, okay, Natalie's going to get this. This is going to be hers. And it's funny because sometimes, somebody will want me to interview somebody, and they'll be they're pretty well known. I had a motivational speaker that I was petrified of. Can you imagine me being petrified? But we went an hour and a half, and he left. He says, first, I want to come back. Second, I've never had such a great interview /talk in my life. I mean, we just hit it off.
That's wonderful.
But you see, he was sent to me, and his publicist, I said, oh, gosh, I don't know if I can interview this guy. You can do it. I've heard your shows. You'll be great. You'll be fantastic. And it turned out beautifully. So then after we were done, and we still chat on Instagram, after we were done, I thought to myself, well, thank you. I guess it was meant to be, see? And that's what people have to understand, I think. But it's really hard sometimes when you, say you want something really bad, and it just doesn't happen. Well, sometimes you have to sit and say, well, okay, I guess it was not right at this time, or maybe there's something better, or... It's just basically timing. A lot of it is timing. People don't understand that either. I know it, and I preach it, but I have trouble with it lots of times because I have a friend who calls me, I'm like a little princess inside. That's my little child, my inner child. I'm a princess. And she says, I can see you stamping your feet saying, I want it now, but I want it now. She says, and God's looking down and saying, well, honey, you ain't going to get it now. you know, it's in my time, not your time. But that's tough. That's divine
yeah,
order
and
can
sometimes
be tough.
You don't, sometimes you don't get that, but you get something better.
Sometimes. Or you don't get anything
didn't
at
even
all.
Know existed.
Yeah, sometimes, yes. But it's in your heart. If it's in your heart and your soul, that's really a struggle. Trust me. It's very painful. Sometimes what I do, you know, I'll be talking out loud. I have a big Maine Coon, a big cat. Mushy, you know, I don't even think God is listening. I don't think he's listening. And Mushy, he'll turn his head as if to say, well, come on, Mom, you know better than that. You know better than that. And I do, but, and I'll tell people, sometimes I have it out with God. Well, what was that all about you did today in the world? I mean, I do that. It's probably waiting for me. Boy, I'm going to fix her when I see her. but that's what I do. But I jest with it. You know, I enjoy it. But yet, it's really real to me. And I'm going to tell you, I end my show, and I will end the show again the same way. I always say, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. That's how I end my show. Because that's what I believe, Lynn. I just believe beyond anybody I've ever met in my whole life. They're just not like me. So, all right, so you published your book. I have to get back to you. We published your book. Now, how did you get it out there? What did you do with it?
Well,
so you get all these books and boxes that you self-publish. What do you do with them, right?
Well, I hired a publicist. Who I think you know, and she
yes, of
has,
course, yes,
and this is her area of expertise.
Yes,
she's
wonderful.
This arena of thinking and knowing, and so she's been wonderful about contacting people like you to have me speak to groups, and I have written some letters to certain people, and I'm not through. I mean, the process is ongoing. It's not the big blowout like the major publishers do. It's just a little at a time to targeted groups. I have some plans in the work that I'm going to be doing to try to get in contact with more hospice people. There is a friend of mine who is a hospice minister who absolutely adores this book and thinks that, you know, I should make more effort in that behalf. So I'm doing it a little at a time is the answer.
Well, you know, your book would really help. It would really help people who have somebody at that point in their life. It would help them to understand an awful lot and make them maybe feel inside that even though they're not there, they're still there. They're still going to be there. They're still going to be there. Sometimes,
but,
you know.
There's also, you know, some help in the book for going through the end-of-life process, which can be difficult.
Yeah.
It can be a minefield sometimes. And, you know, there are a couple of chapters in there about the difficulties we had with my father and some of the decisions that we made, which we wish now we had made differently, but we were doing the best that we could at the time. And that's all laid out and explained and some helpful, you know, management tips and communication tips. And also at the end of the book, and you haven't gotten there yet, but there's some references and there's some things that you can look at online, and there are other books that you can
right.
read, and even movies that you can watch that you can get on Netflix or you can get your library to order or whatever that are about this topic. And if you have a friend or a family member who isn't interested or thinks you're crazy, well, there's some, you know, you can watch a movie together and then talk about it afterwards
yeah.
and say, you know, what do you think? So the
yeah.
book is full of that sort of helpful stuff. And a little.
And like I said, it's not a huge book. You know,
no.
it's not, it's easy, and it's easy reading. It's easy reading because it's coming from within you. It's not a story that you're making up. These are things that you have experienced. And I saw it right away. As soon as I read the first page, oh, I got to finish this before. And then, of course, I ran out of time, and I was gone today. And that's how I knew that I would just love you because I knew, oh, gosh, I can't wait to talk to her. It's wonderful. You're just wonderful. You going to write another one?
Well, maybe. But let me get finished. I have a couple of books I've started here and there, and one is about an incredible woman who is a minister that I started years ago. So we'll see. And we'll also, some of the feedback from this book may propel another book. We'll just have to see.
Oh, I'm
not
so.
Writing it
you're,
yet.
You're so gifted that I would like to get more from you. You know what I'm saying? It's just how I feel. I mean, everybody's probably saying, "Oh my God, Natalie, you're just gushing over her." Yes, I am. You've got to read this. We will all, and I will tell what happened to me. We all go through this. Every one of us. You do not escape. I don't, unless you put yourself in a closet and have somebody lock the door and you don't ever come out. And I am gushing over this book because I just love it. But it really resonates with me, you can tell. It really, really does. Okay, so
maybe
more books coming. I hope so. I hope so. I at least one more. You got to do one more. You just gotta. And her publicist is Sarah. Sarah and I met years ago. She would just send me articles. And one day she wrote me, and she said, I'd like to talk to you on the phone. I said, okay, so we talked. Well, we just hit it off, and you know what she's like. And, you know, I started talking about doing interviews. Oh, my gosh. Oh, how many do you want? How many do you need? She said right away. She was so excited. And, you know, you really have somebody there that's so enthusiastic. I mean, you can get some publicists out there that they have too many, they've taken on too many, and they just, you know, okay, but not her. Mm-mm. She just sent me three more to do.
Wonderful.
Three more. So I'll be full till the end of March. And I would love to have you back. I'm going to tell you that right now. I would really love to have you back sometime. We're not done yet, but I'm just saying. Okay, so now do you have... Are you still actively promoting your book? I mean, do you go like to bookstores and put your book? I have a story that I've started. It's a fairy tale, though. It's nothing like yours, but it's magical. So in a sense, it really is, in a way. You would kind of figure that for me, probably. You're thinking, boy, she's really way out there.
No, I'm not thinking you're way out there. You've got a way to go to get to me.
Yeah, I sure do. Oh, my, I don't even know if I can keep
I'm
up.
I'm just teasing you, but that's what some of my friends would say.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, so do you actively promote your book or, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing something with it? I hope. Please get it out there. Please, when people ask you, oh come here and bring some of your books and talk about it, oh, do it. You must do it, Lynn. You must keep spreading the word, and I'm so adamant about it. I really am.
Yes, I will be doing that, and I may be speaking to some groups, but I'm very selective, and I'm not doing it with the frequency that I did with Closet, for instance. And truly, there are a whole lot of family and friend reasons. You know, I'm needed with a lot of people I love, so I have
to
take care of
that. Exactly.
Right.
And that has to come first. You have to come first. And that's the thing, you know. I just have one son, and I have a granddaughter, and, of course, I have a daughter-in-law and a very dear friend, and I have all these people online that I talk with and everything. I'm just surrounded by so much love, and I'm sure they're listening, and I want them to know that because it's really appreciated. Sometimes I could actually be a recluse probably if I wanted to. I mean, I have three monitors, Lynn. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I want interaction. You know, I like that. But sometimes I kind of just leave it up to the divine. Okay, am I doing anything?
Yeah, I would like to leave it up to the divine. And if you have a listener who thinks that I would be perfect for their group, I'm not saying it's impossible. In fact, if it's the right thing, it'll happen. And I would.
Well, I have something in mind that I will call you about.
Okay.
Where do you live?
I live in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay. All right.
I'm
good.
On the Gulf Coast. But,
good.
You know,
okay.
There are trains and planes and buses and cars that go everywhere.
Oh, no, I have something in mind. They would just love you. They would just love you, Lynn, I'm telling you. Everybody, I mean, I want to meet you so I can hug you.
Well, I love hugs.
Well,
that
you'll get it for me. Anyways, okay. I'm in South Carolina. I'm very close to Savannah. Savannah,
well,
Georgia. I'm about 15 minutes from the border. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I have a daughter in North Carolina, near the South Carolina
border. Oh, okay. There you go. You know, it's beautiful in the South. It's going to be 75 tomorrow here, which is unusually warm for us at this time. I mean, we can be in the 20s at night, 30s at night. And then, of course, it goes back up to the 50s and the 60s. But right now, it's like, and we're heading into spring. I mean, we're into February here. It's going to be March. The flowers are blooming. My azaleas are blooming. But I just love the South. But I originally came from Michigan. Isn't that unreal? Land of ice and snow.
Yes, I know.
It was horrible. I hated it.
I went to my first 2 years of undergraduate school were in Madison, Wisconsin. I understand about cold and snow.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's just terrific, isn't it? So I will call you. I'll set this up through Sarah. I know Sarah likes to do this and find out when you're available, and I want to discuss something with you. But anyways, I'm going to promote your site again. We still have time. It's, of course, www.lynnnnb.com. You will see her book there. You can join her mailing list. It's this beautiful, and I just saw this. The golden color of your book is the golden color of the crystal that appeared before me in 1983.
How fabulous.
That's the color. It was golden. I was really ill. We talked about that. I was very ill. And I'm bringing this up again to people because I want them to understand that these things are real. I'm not making this up. I had healing, of course, massive healing, because I almost died. However, I had to see it. I was awakened. And I saw my room was glowing, this color. This color of your book in that background, the sky, that's the color right there. And I looked around to see if the lights are on, no lights are on, everything. And you know what? I was put back to sleep. You would have thought, being the curious one that I am, I would have sat up until the sun rose. Nope. But you know what I think it was? I just had to see it and believe it, and that's all was necessary for me. Now, I don't know what it was that came to me, because it was about a seven foot crystal, a raw crystal, you know, not jagged one, and that's where the glow was coming from. It was the most beautiful thing that has ever happened to me in my life, and I know it opened me up, maybe, but it took years. I didn't all of a sudden, well, next week all of a sudden I'm doing all of this and I can hear all this. It didn't happen that way for me, no, because I had a son, you know, he was 16, and I had, you know, things that I had to do, and I had several jobs and all that. But I have never seen it again. I think about it every once in a while, and I'm just looking at your site, and there's the color facing me right there. Natalie, there it is. Look. So I don't really know if I'll ever know exactly what that was for me. But it certainly, I got lots of healing. I had two excellent doctors. I was very, very fortunate. And they don't even know how I got this virus. They really didn't know that either. But it was the time of the Ebola breakout. But this was in the United States, of course. And they just saw me every day. Every single day I went in to see them and got my massive injections. And I was good. I made it. Here I am, all these years later. And I think we have to think about the blessings that we have like that, because it doesn't always happen, Lynn, you know. I just think I had to be saved for something. I had to be saved so that I could do something else and something else and then something else. And that's how I feel. I don't know what your take would be on it, but that's what I think. And I just, you know, and all of a sudden it just hit me. There's your color. Silly, you've been looking at it all evening.
So when you first started talking about the crystal, before you said that it was the color of the on the front of the book, I sensed in the center of that crystal, because I saw it as you were talking about it, a presence Did you sense a presence in the center of the crystal?
No, I did not. I just knew it was huge. It was mammoth. And it wasn't until probably maybe 8 years ago that, and I'll tell you about my friend, she, when I had the interview, she said, "Don't tell me anything. I'm going to tell you what happened to you." She was a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "You had something appear before you." And she said, "And you never knew what it was. I'm going to tell you what it was." She said, "It was either an archangel
mm-hmm.
or it was God. It was of a higher presence to be there." And yes, and I said, "But I fell asleep. I should have stayed up and watched it." "No, no." She said, "You were." She told me that. She said, "I don't want you to tell me, but I'm going to tell you what you saw. I know. I see it." So you see it and you saw a presence in it? I'm sure.
Yes.
But I didn't feel it that night. No.
Yes. So, and the presence was, of course, very large and capable of illuminating the room. And
yes
and that was, I would agree with whomever told you that the first time.
My friend.
I would, yeah.
Yep.
So that now you've been told the same thing twice.
Yes. Thank you very much, Lynn. You're so sweet.
Isn't that
but
wonderful
anyways,
how that happens? It's
yeah,
just remarkable.
Well, it really, really is. I mean, that it was huge. And I worked with a group, and they said, well, you know, everybody, I mean, they were all readers and psychics and all that kind of stuff. And they said, well, you know, it was probably, you know, a massive healing. And I said, no. And I didn't do anything at that time. I didn't hear anything. You know, I wasn't clairaudient. I said, no, it was not just that. I said, because I didn't have to see it. I didn't have to be awake. It woke me up. I had to see it. And I argued with them. I said, don't you understand that? Because they just thought, well, you were super ill and you needed massive healing. I said, I disagree with you. And I still would if I saw them. Because I know I had to see it. Because I turned around and looked at it.
Yeah.
Well, I had to because I had to figure out where this big, huge light was coming from.
Okay, but so what you've done with me by sharing that story and allowing me to see the light and the presence in the light has brought healing to me of whatever kind I may need.
Awesome.
And just the overwhelming wonder of being in that presence. And so just sharing your story has done that, which is to me is just remarkable.
I gave something back to you. That makes me happy.
Well, and you've done it for the whomever is listening and is willing to see and accept and know that it's there.
Right.
It's just fabulous.
Right.
But you're seeing that reminds me of you going way back to when we started talking and you asked, you know, how did I begin to know this? That story made me recall that early in my marriage, and this is a very long time ago, I had an aunt who had died and had left me a little money that we used as a down payment to move into a bigger house closer to my work. And I awakened a couple of nights after we had moved in, not fully awake, but I just sort of sensed something at the end of my bed, and I became aware. I guess I opened my eyes. I'm not even sure, and I saw my aunt standing at the end of the bed. And I woke my husband up and I said, "Do you see her? Do you see her?" And he said, "See what?" And about that time I saw her fade. But here's the really interesting part of that story. When she was at Vassar in college, she was at Radcliffe. She had been in a fire and had been badly burned and scarred because back then they didn't have the healing, you know, capacity they have now. And so she had worn heavy makeup all of her life, which is how I had known her. But when I saw her standing at the end of the bed, she looked like her pictures from college before she had ever been burned.
Oh, wow.
But I knew immediately who it was, and I knew that she was and shortly before she died, she came to see me, and she wanted to talk about some of this sort of stuff, and she'd never been really interesting, and a week later, she had a heart attack and died. So I think she had some premonition or something. But I saw this presence there, not the presence of an archangel or of God, but a presence in a beautiful form and you know, without the imperfections that she had experienced as a human. So your story just reminded me of that.
Yeah,
and that,
well, I'm glad. But yeah, I don't know what the presence was inside of it. I mean, I just knew it was something really big.
Well,
I mean, I knew it because of
like
the size of it.
What looked like a crystal that was glowing to you was really a very powerful force of existence.
Right. Well, she always felt, and I will talk about her at the end, she always felt that that was just to enlighten me more, to make me think about, and I worked with all these people and I didn't think I was as gifted as them. I would always sit there, and people have heard the story before, I'd sit there and I'd watch them and I'd think, gee, I wish I could do that. I didn't have to do it. I didn't know it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they always made me feel I was, like, intimidated by them because, you know, they'd walk around. Well, part of it is the ego. Eventually the ego, you see it. And I had to deal with all these people, hundreds of them. And I wasn't envious. I just would sit and say, gosh, why can't I do that?
Mm.
Well, obviously I wasn't supposed to do that at that point in time. I had a different purpose, that's all. It's
sure.
just different, that's all.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, I love you telling me that about the presence. I love it. That just is an affirmative thing for what my, and people know that I'm going to talk about her. Her name is Maya Moon, and it's really hard to talk about her. We did a show. We did shows on Monday nights, Lynn, from 8 to 9. Her first name was Christy. We became like sisters. She started working with me when I first started my one site, and it was instant. And so she's the one that when I interviewed her, she told me about, don't tell me what you saw. I know what you saw. I see it. I'm going to tell you what it is. And she said, and actually it's been with you all of your life, she said, you know, when she said this 8 years ago, because this was a long time ago when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she, you know, we talked and text every day, every single day, you know. Well, she got very ill. Actually, I was mad at her when she passed. But our subjects would be about angels and archangels. Every week we talk about something divine, everything, divine order, anything in the whole area. You would have loved it. Anything in the whole, you could have talked. Anything on the area we talked about. And some stuff I didn't know. Oh, she said, you know you, Natalie, you'll be able to talk, and I can sit back and listen to you because you'll just pick it up. And she said, because you know more than you know. And so, and it worked out that way. We were just great together. Well, about a week before she passed, like I said, it was a year ago, February 16th. This past February 16th. A week before she passed, I was starting to wake up, and I heard the strum of a harp. You know, like somebody just strumming the harp one time. I'd never heard that before. And we talked, like we talked every day. And I said, I got to ask you about this. And she said, and I told her, she said, what do you think it means? I said, well, to me it means angelic, and it means a message to me. She couldn't figure it out. But a little bit longer than a week later, she was gone. They were telling me they're coming to take her. That was my announcement. It was for me. And it was her. It was for her. And after that, I would hear like three knocks at my door, like, you know, the light was, it was just getting light out there, you know, and nobody was at my door. I mean, first time I got up because I thought somebody was there. And then I'd hear other knocks once in a while. And then the other thing that I would always tell her about is I would get, my phone would ring once, only it wasn't my phone ringing because the first few times I actually got up and reached for the phone, but it wasn't my phone. Then I recognized what it was. Okay, but what does this mean? Somebody's reaching out. Somebody's trying to tell me something, that they're here, that they're there. I'm with you, but I never knew who it was. I never knew who it was. But it wasn't until a while after she passed away, I started thinking about that harp. Oh, yeah, it was. And then I knew right away. But the love that we had for each other, her husband told me, because we talked afterwards, he said, she loved you more than anything in this world. And, you know, people are probably going to get sad, like me, but I have things, all her cards, she always told me, she said, you are the real star. She said, it's just most people don't know it. She would write it in the cards. I have them all. And the last Christmas she sent me, I want to go to Africa. Everybody knows that too. And she sent me a giraffe because I love giraffes. I love baby elephants. I love the big cats. And I'm just so fond of the animals, right? She sent me a huge giraffe, and in it was wrapped a blanket. It was tucked a blanket inside. And she always had this thing that she called blankets cozers. And I'm sure she's listening and smiling. And she had it in there, and she sent a card with it. She says, now you have your very own giraffe, and you have your very own cozer. Well, that giraffe is on the back of my bed. And that cozer is with me all the time. And all of her cards are sitting on my dresser in my bedroom. That lady, I mean, I miss her more than anybody in my whole life. Isn't that strange? I mean, I wasn't close to my parents at all, really. You can tell, probably. I wasn't. I mean, but her. And so I talk to her every day, you know, like I do to God. Give him my little dissertation for the day. And I'll say, you know, I'll ask her, just give me some signs. Just let me know that you're here, because she knows I can hear. But, you know, because I'm surrounded by so many beautiful people, and I'm telling you this, I think, for a reason, Lynn, you might use this sometime in your life, maybe in your writing. I had one of my gals tell me, she said, you know, she's still earthbound. And I said, why? Why do you think? She's taking care of you.
Mm.
And she's waiting. But she says, I'm going to tell you something. She's got a long wait for you to go. But she's taking care of you. She wants to make sure that you're okay and fine. And isn't that beautiful?
Yes. That's quite lovely.
It really, really is. It's very hard without her. It really, really is. But I talk to her every day. And, you know, and I didn't do the radio show, Lynn, for 3 months because I couldn't. I tried, and I couldn't. And then finally, my co-host that's on some of my shows said, how about I interview you? I'm going to interview you, Natalie. And maybe you'll get your feet wet again. So we did it on a different night, of course, Wednesday. And I was getting emails. People say, well, we want to hear your voice. When are you going to do this again? And, you know, I just was dragging my feet. But then once I got started, and the gal who told me that she was still earthbound is the first person I interviewed, the author. She was the first one. She was a dear friend of mine, okay? And I just did a little bit more and a little bit more, and then I got a hold of Sarah, and then they just all started coming in that I just decided not to stop. But I do know one thing. I know she's very proud of me. I know that for sure. And I know, and I'm telling people out there, if anybody could do anything, it's her. For me. I just know it. I just know it, Lynn, and I don't mean to cry.
That's one of the hard things about not having somebody there in the physical, and I say that in the book too, you know, that there's, when we're in physical form, we miss the physical. I mean,
right.
I totally know what you're saying, and I do have the capacity to hear and sometimes see and sometimes sense, smell, or even touch or whatever. But there
right.
is something about being in a physical
And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
physical.
Get teary-eyed.
No, no.
Yeah. Well, she's, you
I
know,
mean,
I mean,
true.
That's...
And I
yes,
make that comment
how,
in the book.
That's how important she was in my life.
Absolutely.
And she's not left. And she's not leaving. I mean, she's there. You know, I think she's probably teaching. She had, you know, done a lot of an outline about the classes she wanted to teach. And she was just such a great medium. And so I really, if she could do anything for me, you can bet your sweet life she's up there. Okay, I'm gonna get this for you. Hold on. And she was blonde. And she was just something. She was a force within herself. She just, But actually, tears are good because it allowed me to release something. Because it is hard to talk about her sometimes, not all the time, but I knew the subject tonight with you, Lynn. I knew we would touch on some beautiful things and share some beautiful things with each other. And if you ever write anything and you want to use anything that I've told you, you certainly have my permission.
Well, thanks.
And explaining to me about what I saw, that crystal, I didn't realize that it was actually a presence. All I knew, it was big, and that was it. And, you know, that's what Maya told me. She said, oh, no. This was big. This was powerful for you, not just to heal you, but to do something else for you that you probably weren't even aware of. And I, to this day, I'm probably not. But I know what I believe in, and you know what you believe in. And what a great talk we have had, even though I had some tears. But it's good. It's all good. And I would love to have you back sometime to talk about other things. I mean, you can talk about your book, but just other things that will come up. And I just think that you have so much warmth about you. And I've never even met you, not yet. But I feel that with you.
That may be yet to come. It sounds like it might happen.
Yes. Well, I have an idea, and you would be perfect. I would just be so happy. I would be so happy. But anyways, we will talk after, and it's a little after 9, but that's okay. We have another 25 minutes. But is there anything you would like to reach out and tell the listeners that I have? Of course, some of them are probably got tears in their eyes because I brought that up, and, you know, it made them be a little sensitive. But that's okay. That is okay. You know, and my son always says to me, Mom, you don't cry, you sob. And well, I can do that too. But is there anything that you'd like to have the audience know, maybe some words of wisdom, some encouragement, you know, please tell them.
Well, I think
I could talk hours for you on the air.
I think being open to possibility, that's just the biggest thing to me. You know, just for a moment, suspend your disbelief. That's one of my favorite things to say. And embrace the possibility, just like you were saying with your friend who you miss so much, that embracing the possibility that, and the probability for you, the knowingness for you, that she really is there with you and she's available. Again, look for the signs and symbols or smells or knowings or feelings or whisperings or... It's not going to, when you communicate with those who are no longer in physical bodies, you're not going to communicate in the same way, though there are people who actually feel touched. There's the story in the book that we've been discussing of the widow whose cat is stroking her hair, and it feels like her husband. And, that's in the very end of the book, and she feels like her husband is stroking her head just like he used to, and it's a cat, and he's doing it in a way that's not at all normal for a cat. And she is really convinced that it was her husband sort of guiding the cat to do that. Now,
because
let
the cat
tell
will
you,
swat you. A cat usually won't stroke you. It'll swat you like I have a cat. I mean, you know, they do strange things sometimes, but they don't usually stroke your hair like that. That's beautiful. Oh,
yes.
My.
And both of these people, the wife and the husband, are scientists. They're both PhD chemists. We're not, that's a story that she shared with me and discussed with me and you know, wanting to believe that that's really what it was. And she does believe
right
now. She does. And so that's been very helpful to her. So, you know, if you just open to the possibility that something is more than what you would at the surface say, you'd be amazed at how much love can come through that, because to me it really is all. It all reduces down to the essence of how we love each other, and if you can.
Oh, and I really should
share
this story about my best friend, my childhood friend. I'm her mother's godmother. I'm her daughter's godmother. She was very ill, and my friend Maya Moon and another friend both called me on the same day, said you have to go. Well, it was going back to Detroit. It was in September. I thought, oh, I got to go there. Okay. They're both telling me there's a reason. You have to go. She's waiting for you.
Oh,
well. Well, Lynn, listen to this. So I almost forgot about it. So my son went with me. We had a direct flight. We got there about, oh, I don't know, 1 something in the afternoon. I went right to her house, right to her, sat with her, held her, felt her pulse. Her daughter couldn't stay in there with me. Nobody stayed in with me. Her husband didn't even want to stay in with me. Well, he was mad because I was there. And I held her and I whispered to her and I said, it's okay, I'm here. I'll take good care of Heather. That's my goddaughter. And my son was holding me. He was behind me holding me and I'm holding her. And she passed in my arms. If you don't think that was a beautiful thing for me, that my two dear friends both told me, you got to go. You got to go now. She's waiting for you. She was waiting for me. And it's just something for her daughter. We talk every day, ever since now. It's been a few years. Text, talk, you know. And she always said to me, I'm not worried about her. And I said, why? She said, well, because she's always going to have you. But it was important for that daughter to be there after that I was there. Because she came in the room and she looked at me and she said, I knew my mother was waiting for you.
Wow.
And that's what that's another thing that happened to me. And it was wonderful. I mean, I wasn't upset. I felt like I was given something, Lynn. God gave me something to experience that most people really don't. I mean, she passed within 20 minutes after I got there. She waited. That doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't always happen, but it happens, I think, more than people realize.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's beautiful when it does. I have to say this, though, too, for your listeners. There are times when a loved one will wait for someone to leave. And they will die after that person has left. They want to see them.
I've heard that before.
Well, there are some people who find it difficult to be with someone who is dying. And it's very upsetting to them. And often the person who is dying senses that and will wait for that person to leave to actually leave their body.
Right.
It's amazing how sensitive they can be.
And the person that left is going to be mad. Well, I why couldn't I have been there? Because they don't understand.
No, I'm talking about people who, well, that happens too. That does happen too. But there's some who say, oh, I'm so glad I was there for the last few minutes, but I just don't think I could have been there. I couldn't have handled it being there when they leave. There's some people who just, you get the difference?
Yes, I do. For me, it was
just the opposite
amazing.
With you.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh no. She was waiting for me and you know, my son was worried about me, and then he looked at me, he said, you're doing just fine. He said, you want me to leave? I said, no, I want you to stay here with me. And he had his arms around me, and I had my arms around her. It was the most beautiful thing. And I really wanted her daughter to be there, but she didn't want to. She didn't want to. She wanted me to be there. And so she was good with it, just so good with it. And what it did too, Lynn, is it brought an even more special bond for myself and my friend's daughter, my goddaughter, that will never be broke. We always tell each other how lucky we are to have each other. I mean, she says, I would never talk to my mother like I talk to you. Why is that? I said, well, I don't know. I'm not your mother. She said, no, my mother was not like you. And listen to this, Lynn. That girl is more like me than she is her mother. We do this. We like the same kind of things. We act the same kind of way. And I said, oh, it's because I, you know, when you were a little girl, you were with me all the time. I rubbed off on you. We laugh about it, but it's true. And even her mother would say that. I don't even think she's my daughter. I think she's yours. But you see, it developed something more between us, and it was just a beautiful thing. And I think if people can look at, I mean, we knew what was happening to my friend. We knew. And it was a matter of maybe up to 7 years. We knew. But still, it doesn't make it any easier, does it?
No, it doesn't. Again, what I said earlier, it's the physical missing the physical. We just
yes,
we just did
it is. Yeah. Now, my friend, I have her picture up here in my office. She's always looking down at me. And my other friend from my childhood, my goddaughter's mother, she's there too, and they're both looking at me. And in a sense, sometimes it helps, but I can hear her voice. She would always say,
nice.
"Well, hello there, Miss Natalie." That's what she would say. "That, well, hello there, Miss Natalie. How is my special sister?" And I can hear her, so that's good. I still get that. So you know, I just got to keep. I can't keep saying I want to hear things because all of a sudden I'm going to hear something, and then I'll know what it is. You know, it's going to also let the listeners know that it's going to catch you without warning. You're not, you know, you can't say, "Okay, I want to hear a bell right now." Well, it might not happen right now. And, this has just been so fascinating, Lynn. You have actually helped to heal my heart.
Well, thank you. That's
you have.
Wonderful.
I mean, I think everybody. Now, I have one lady that's listening right now, and she's probably going to say to me, "Oh, my, what a show." Oh, really, I'm just so happy that Sarah suggested you. So, anyways, let's go. Let everybody know about your site again and your book. Go get this book. I mean, it's available on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Loving to the End and On, A Guide to the Impossibly Possible. And it's a nice book. It'll make you feel good. And then when you look at the cover, you're going to say, "Ah, that's what Natalie saw. That's what she saw. That's the color I saw." And I'm so glad I saw that. I mean, you know, that just makes my evening. It makes me feel so good. And, you know, I'll talk to you later on in maybe a week, two, something like that. We'll connect again because I have an idea. And, again, I'm so happy you decided to. Of course, you go where Sarah tells you. Sarah, I'll say, "Well, you have to go there. You have to call in at this time," right? Is that what she does? I don't even know how she does it.
She's amazing.
Oh, she really, really is. Well, you have a great evening. Thank you again.
And thank
and
you
I'm sure
so much.
I'm going to be getting. Oh, no, this has been wonderful. This has just been wonderful. I want to thank my friend, she works for me, Candy. She's in the chat. She does the marketing. She wrote here, "This has been a very enlightening experience with you ladies tonight. Thanks for sharing a piece of your worlds with us." And she told me, "You're allowed to cry, Miss Natalie." That's Candy. Candy does all the marketing and all that kind of stuff, and she's just wonderful. She has magic hands. She just goes and takes off with them. And then I have somebody else named Stars JC, Jackie. She does a lot of my copy, a lot of my, you know, she used to work for a general, so you know how efficient she is. And I'll say, "Well, Jackie, I need my BCC list." "Okay, give me 5 minutes and I'll have it in 2. I mean, she's the Excel queen. She's just, you know, you couldn't pay her what she's worth. You really could not because she's so talented. But see, this is what I'm surrounded with, Lynn. I've got all this. This is just my world. It's my world. So. Anyways, okay, I look forward to talking to you off the air, and I'll tell you about my idea, and it'll be wonderful. And you're very sweet, and I love you already. I mean, I have this fondness for you already. So, and I hope everybody enjoyed the show. We'll have Lynn back on again, and if you have any questions, please email me at stars with a Z, cast, C-A-S-T, at mysticlivingtoday.com. I'll answer them. I get it off my server. I won't miss you. And if you need to know where Lynn's book is, and if you can't find it, and you need to know the name of her site and all that again, I'll be happy to give it to you. So with that, Lynn, I'm going to end the show as I always do. Believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Have a good night, everyone. Good night to you, Lynn. I love you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.